part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we have special guests.
This is ad hoc 104, John.
Oh,
ad hoc 104, but it's a very, very special
I'm
ad hoc 104.
So unprofessional.
I don't think we've had an ad hoc as special as this one, John. You know why, John?
Why is that?
I know why.
Why?
Because Tony Hearn is here from the UK.
Oh,
say hi, Tony.
No.
Hi.
Right
hi.
On.
Come on. That's me as well.
Not only is Tony Hearn here all the way from the UK.
That's right.
But Rick, lead guitarist and vocalist from A Kangaroo Court, has joined us as well.
Hi,
say hi, Rick.
I'm high, thanks.
Right on.
This is pussy. This is pussy. Pussy.
That's not nice.
That is
That's not nice. That's not the way you treat your guests.
Oh,
so it's a 104 Festivus Tetanus update ad hoc. So we got some updates. John and I picked up Pauly B and Tony Hearn at the airport yesterday.
Thank you for that.
Your flight was how long?
Too long. 8 hours. 8.5 hours, I think. Nine hours in the plane because half hour on the tarmac at Heathrow. Not the best.
Oh, right. I read, you know, because on the online you can go to Flight Checker.
Oh, right. Okay.
Flight status. And I watched as your plane flew over the ocean and over Iceland and
what
Quebec.
Are you, Al-Qaeda?
Iceland was nice.
And Greenland. And
oh, yeah, I remember that. A bit turbulence, but it's fine. We pulled it back.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they outlaw
that? Yeah, 9 hours. Then eventually through immigration.
Wow.
They were gentle.
Shouldn't they outlaw that?
You had some problems with integration?
Integration, yeah. They didn't
integration.
Yeah. They didn't want to integrate with society.
Because they were asking you who you were staying with?
That's right.
And you really didn't have any information.
I had no clue.
Did you say?
I drew a small picture of you.
Uh-huh.
But then I didn't know what you looked like, so I put a stick man with a hat on. They bought it there. They were fine. They were fine with it.
I'm here to see these guys, John and Scott. John and Scott who? I don't know.
Exactly.
It's just these guys.
Just check with the NSA. They know who they are.
All right, so we picked you up from the airport. We took you back to my place. You got to meet the lovely.
The lovely, yes.
The lovely.
Mrs. Scott.
And have some soup as well.
And that was very nice as well.
That's the stunning beef burgundy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Soup.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Rick, she makes some good soup.
It was great.
So we hung out on the front porch, had some cocktails and some soup.
Soup.
John, you had to cut out, right?
Yeah.
What did you have to do? Decorate a van or something?
Yeah. My son had a homecoming football game, so I had to decorate the van. It's real cool.
Totally cool.
It was cool because it was all done except for one thing. And because he's on the Lions, I drew the lion. And everybody marveled at my artistic prowess.
You are a very creative person.
Thank you. So I'm very sensitive, too.
Aren't all creative people sensitive? Just ask Tony Hearn.
Thank you very much.
No, ask Rick. See, look at him. Can everybody see that?
So then John cut out. Then what did we do, Tony? I can't remember. We
went for a beer, didn't we?
We picked John up somewhere, or we met you somewhere?
We picked John up at his house.
Oh, we went over to John's house.
And then we went to the Beacon Tap to get a beer. But unfortunately, they wouldn't let us in.
They wouldn't let us in because, and this is kind of troubling, because the class of 77 from the high school John and I went to apparently rented out the whole place and the doors were closed. You could not get in unless you were in the class of 77.
I was born in 77, wouldn't let me in.
Now, the problem is, next week is Festivus Tetanus, and there's the Class of 82 reunion. Now, we had an agreement with Ron that some podcasting people were going to be there. So if Ron says, well, it's going to be closed, we're going to have to push back and say, well, we need a password or something. We can give a password out on the air.
Well, like tetanus.
Like tetanus. And right. If you say tetanus, you can get in to this closed-door festival, Festivus Tetanus. So we need to check that out tonight if we can.
Actually,
nice.
Excuse me. Rick.
Spit it out, man. Jesus.
Is that going to hurt my ears like that? Do you got to do that? Paulie B wants to do stand-up between our sets.
Oh, he mentioned that today, yeah. Okay, so the current plan...
Are you going to say anything or just fucking look at us? It doesn't bode well for radio.
No. Wait, what are you looking at me for?
The current... He's trying to get your approval because you are the leader of a Cannon Rue court.
Approval for what?
To let Paulie B do a little stand-up between our sets.
Can he?
Yeah, he would like to if he can.
He owns two comedy clubs. The guy's a Brazilianaire.
So at some point, Paulie B and Tony Hearn are going to come
Tony?
Up.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
And
lots of Brazilians.
At some point, Paulie B and Tony Hearn are going to come up and play three songs with Kangaroo Court.
Yeah?
We have that list of songs. But we'll keep that as a surprise. I've already mentioned them before.
Okay.
Right.
So then Paulie B would also like maybe to come up and do a little bit of stand-up while we're on break. So
keep it live.
We can't get into the Beacon, so then we head out to Arlington Heights, out towards Rick's, because Rick is stuck. He cannot leave. His wife's on a new bowling league, so he's at home.
That's what she calls it now.
And so then we head over to Harry's in Arlington Heights. And how was that experience for you, Tony?
It was nice. I had my first Sloppy Harry Joe something experience.
What did you get? A Sloppy...
Sloppy Harry.
Sloppy Harry.
Which is some kind of burger, but made of minced meat, which was loose.
But you called it loose meat before.
Loose meat. That
was, yeah.
I've heard it called a loose meat sandwich
before. Loose
before.
Meat. It's fine. It's not... No.
In the South, I think they call it that. Give me one of those loose meat sandwiches.
You can't laugh at the foreigner. Or maybe you can.
Wait till we're there and we go, what the hell are bangers and mash?
Bangers.
Yeah, it's great.
So then we went, after dinner, we went to Rick's house. Rick had a nice big fire going in the driveway. Some neighbors over. We had some cocktails. And fantastic night. It was really chilly, but the fire, if you stayed by the fire, it was nice and warm. Mm. Nice and warm. And one of Rick's neighbors was there. That works for Opus Dei.
Right.
Opus Dei.
And they really do self-flagellate themselves. But that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Flagellate.
Self-flagellate.
Self-flagellate
themselves.
What is it called?
Flog?
No, it's... What is it? It's not flog. Self-flog?
I don't know. Ask the English major.
What are you, English major?
You're an English major?
Rick. Right, sorry.
What do they call it when Opus Dei, when they punish themselves, part of their religion?
Yeah,
fuck you!
I know what you mean. I can't, it's on the tip of my tongue.
It's flagellation, isn't it?
Flagellation. That's what I said. Flagellation.
You said flatulation.
Same thing.
Flatulation.
It's a form of self-punishment, is what it is, in either case.
Ow! So not only you got sound bites playing, you actually do your sounds live, John. It's nice having the live experience.
You see it actually happening.
It all sounds so technical on air. But not.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just a bunch of silly buttons that I pressed. That's it. Like when it's, you know, it's real uncomfortable.
Ooh,
to play that.
Nice.
Hey, were you guys still around when the neighbor pulled in later?
Dude.
Which neighbor?
I pulled in and some...
With the 56 Chevy?
No, on the other side.
No, I'd gone to bed by
some
then, I think.
Some freak walked by Cro-Magnon with longer arms than Scott.
No way.
Dragging his knuckles and a bag of something, maybe a head. He probably had a severed head in the bag. And he looked at me. He looked like a Sasquatch.
Maybe it was.
He had long hair and a big burly beard.
You have Sasquatch sightings in your neighborhood, don't you?
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
What are you, from Chicago? Oh, it's time for the rave.
Well, now hold on. Tony had options. He could have stayed with Paulie B at my place. He could have. We drove him by the studio. He could have stayed here.
Yep.
Or Rick was the other option, and he went with Rick. And how did that go?
Very well.
Now, at Rick's, you have your own room.
Yep. Own bathroom.
And it, Kevin.
Kevin the fish.
Wait a minute. Before all that, you've got to see the guitar room.
Yep.
Did he let you, like, play any?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Scott has not seen it.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't.
I've known Rick all of a day. I've played each guitar.
Same with Stefan C.
I've known him
for 15 years. I get kept outside by the fire.
And then Rick calls us up one at a time, except for Scott. John, come on in. I want to show you something. Pauly B, come on in. Come in the back. Help me get some wood. Scott, just stay there.
Make sure the fire doesn't go out. All right, so you, how was your night at Nick's? Nick's?
At Rick's. It was great.
How was your night at Rick's?
Over at Nick's house. How you doing? Hey.
You slept through the night? No problems? The bed was comfortable?
Yeah, I slept like a log. I'd been up. I got up at 7 a.m. in the UK, flew here. And then went to bed at 11:30 in the US, which was about 5:30 in the UK. So I'd been up more or less a day.
I just
passed straight out.
Passed out, you woke up, and did Rick fix your breakfast?
Yes.
What did you have?
We had bacon, hash browns, egg, lovely coffee with some vanilla thing in it.
Yeah, some kind of vanilla cream.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I won't go into
it. No, we know what that is.
We've had that. You tricked us before.
And biscuits.
And biscuits. from the Pillsbury Doughman supplied the biscuits. Yeah. It was really
wow.
I cracked open a can of biscuits, too, but it was a special occasion.
Cool. A can of biscuits.
Well, I hooked up Pauly B with breakfast, and then we talked to John, asked him how the game went, and then we said, hey, have you heard from Rick? He said, yeah, I just... talk to Rick, and nobody knows where Tony is.
Tony disappeared.
What? And tell us that story. Now, you wake up, you have breakfast, and then what do you tell Rick?
I just wanted to head into... have a bit. I want to go exploring. Call blimey, Mary Poppins. I wanted to go exploring and just find my feet a little bit. So I took the train into Park Ridge. I need to buy some shoes, because these shoes I've got now, I've got holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
I need to buy some new shoes.
What size you wear?
Size 11.
Oh.
I don't know what that translates as in the US.
So you just went to Park Ridge, looked for some shoes? 10.
So yeah, I went to look for some shoes, and I learned a valuable lesson, which is when in the US, when they say, do you want that large, say no. Because I had a large smoothie, and it was the size of a bucket.
Right on. That's like 32 ounces,
I could have painted my house
All you had to do is look at Scott's TV. Rick hasn't gotten the big TV yet, but he's gonna. Rumor has it.
Really?
Yeah, you told me you're going to get the big one that hangs on the wall.
Oh, yeah, we'd like to.
Yeah.
So from Park Ridge after your smoothie, what do you do? Where do you go?
Everything's big.
I had a bit of a walk around and then caught the train again and came back.
And now this is your first time in the States?
Ever, yes.
Ever. What do you think so far? You've been here,
It's really nice. It's lovely weather, lovely people. I've spoke to quite a few people out and about today. All very nice, lovely people.
Oh, as soon as they hear your accent, they're like,
is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
I have found, now I've been here, I've become very much more English. And hello, how are you?
But if you speak this language... Yeah, there's trouble.
Sim salabin.
Well, you know, the other thing that Tony's got going for him, he's got that Hugh Jackman look. What was that movie where he's...
X-Men,
yeah, he's got the X-Men.
I am full-on Wolverine.
Full-on Wolverine.
Are you a comic book dude?
No.
Oh.
I have a girlfriend.
So, what does that mean? I have comic books.
Fuck you.
And I'm married.
That's true.
All right.
And this is how you gave me all the porn on the way in.
Right.
I've got a pod.
Oh, fuck. So you make your way back to Rick's, and then you come over today, and you're talking about the steak, the most fabulous
steak
you've ever had.
Fantastic.
Rick, you want to tell us about the preparation of that steak?
I went shopping yesterday. I completely forgot to buy something for. Should I wait till this is over? Or?
John's enjoying himself a little bit too much there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead,
Rick. I'm going to talk about meat now.
Right.
And then we'll talk about the cock.
Oh, yeah, last night, the fighting cock bourbon. It was, it was a nice initiation for everybody.
It's wow.
Yeah, well, I'm taking pictures. I'm a tourist. I take pictures.
Paulie B had mentioned that the fighting cock is what helped him get rid of the jet lag.
Yeah.
That definitely took the edge off for
him. The cock did help.
The cock helped.
I do love the cock.
You'll have to take a picture of the bottle before you leave.
Oh, yeah.
He took a picture of the steaks before dinner tonight.
I did, yeah. I'm tourist mode. I'm taking pictures of everything.
Did you rub them down? Did you rub the meat, Rick?
Yes, I did.
Do a nice dry rub?
Yes.
That's out of sight. Just remember that, Tony. Whenever you have a barbecue, make sure you put a dry rub on your meat.
Dry rub?
Yeah.
Okay.
The dry rub.
Some garlic, salt.
Salt.
Some pepper.
How long do you do that before you cook? Do you let it sit for a while? Or?
No, the dry rub, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No. And the paprika is great for getting that little blackened effect on there.
Gives it
some flavor. Flavor.
All right, so then you had some steaks and you head over here.
Yeah, and here we are.
We're going to do an ad hoc, and then we're going to head over and maybe catch a Bears game. American football. How about that? American football.
I've been introduced to American football in the past couple of hours, and Rick's trying to explain bits of it, but I keep losing the plot a bit.
And I give
There's up. There's too many rules.
I
tried. I really did try.
Try to explain baseball.
I had to agree with him.
Fuck
yeah.
I tried to explain baseball to a German. And then
there's nothing wrong with the Germans.
No, nothing at all. But I'm explaining it to them, and I'm explaining the walk. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. And then they do an intentional. What are they doing there? Why are they throwing the ball purposely out of the striking zone?
Well, that's good. That's good.
I said, well, okay. Yeah. Then you got to explain that.
Yeah, you're really confusing me now.
But then he spent a whole day the next day watching baseball. Yeah, American football is not too bad, is it? Is it, Rick?
There's a lot of rules.
Well, trying to show him, explain what a false start was, and when he saw it in slow motion, the guy barely flinched.
Yeah. That's a ridiculous rule, by the way.
Does slow the game down a bit.
That's why it's a huge game of strategy versus like rugby, which is constant running.
Rugby's just full of hard men with no teeth trying to batting the shit out of each other. You're not going to mess with any of them.
Yeah, but they're starting to wear pads now, I saw.
Do they?
Yeah, they're wearing the leather helmets like from back in the day.
There's no big pads on. Like,
no, they wear this undergarment that's got like foam shoulder pads and a chest pad and it's something for their sternum.
Right.
And their back. But other than that, yeah.
Well, some people think that the introduction of this protective equipment in the NFL actually makes it a little more dangerous because these guys have no fear anymore and they just really fire their bodies into each other.
What's wrong with that, though? That's
what I want to see.
Well, a guy playing football breaks his neck a couple weeks ago.
It's out of sight. There's I want to see.
I mean, that's a freak, though, kind of a thing, isn't it?
It's a gladiator state of mind, though. I mean, you pull them out and you get the next one in.
Well, and then you got Mike Ditka going to Congress and saying, "Hey, man, we need some sort of a fund for these guys who only last an average of four years.
Fritter away their millions."
Yeah, he's only saying that because the league is making brazillions of dollars.
Brazillions.
And it's off of these guys that are smashing into each other at these incredible speeds and breaking bones and hips.
It's their choice.
It is. It's true. So they need to band together. I don't know if you need to try and create a law or have a Senate hearing.
Where's their union at?
Right.
Well, they have
they
one,
should
don't
strike.
They?
Right, where are they at?
Well, actually, the new guys are. They have a better policy than the old guys. He's trying to lobby for the guys who first started out, thinking that the league would take care of them. And
can you name any of those old guys?
Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka.
No, but he's not hurting for money.
Obradovich.
Who?
Big O. Obradovich.
Never heard of him.
Dick played Butkus. For the Bears. Bobby Obradovich.
Gale Sayers. Jim Brown.
There you go, yeah.
Right on.
O.J. Simpson.
All right, then. So a couple of Festivus Tetanus updates. Still on, 29th, Beacon Tap. Before that, or maybe after that, it's going to be an international Punky versus TTN football match. I don't mean American football. I mean real English football.
Proper football.
Proper football.
Yes.
And then that's about all I have to say about that.
It's nice.
That is nice.
Where's this going to be played at?
We don't know yet. To be determined.
Is it going to be touch or tackle or what are we doing?
No. It's English football. Weren't you paying attention?
Yeah.
You know what English football is?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I've seen people run into each other in that game.
Without pads.
Yeah, and are we gonna play on a hard surface or a soft surface?
Actually, there's headbutting that goes on right into the chest.
Soft surface.
Okay. Like in here? Are we going to play in here? Or?
Oh, John, yes, please.
Yeah, we could. All right. Let's see anything. Rick, how is Tony as a house guest?
Tony's
any complaints?
He's fabulous. No. The kids have taken to him. They're the ones that bought him.
They bought me a fish.
Kevin, the fish.
Kevin. And he does look like a Kevin. It's nice.
And one of the cats have taken to him.
Oh, my little friend.
You like cats. You don't like dogs, though.
I'm a cat person, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the beautiful Stephanie, if you think, might buy a cat at home.
Right on.
Yes, I have a little cat. It's a big sign of commitment.
You already talked to her about who's going to do the cat litter and shit like that?
Not yet, no.
You better get that squared away.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. I'll do that. She'll be listening to this show, so hi, Steph.
I'm doing mine tonight.
You take care of it, huh?
Yep.
How often do you do the cat litter?
Once a week.
Once a week? Yeah, because the wife's always wanting to get a cat.
I don't clean the cat
box.
Rick's
got like 30 cats.
He doesn't. He has two that I saw.
There's more than two.
There's more than two?
Yeah.
There's four.
Four.
God, how long have you known him? Come on.
The guy doesn't let me in his house. Hey, Rick, I got to take a leak. All right, yeah, go back
there.
That's
right, yeah. I made him go out behind the garage last night. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. I guess I have been doing that to you, but it's been subconsciously.
Subconscious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to John's house yet. I've been to everyone else's now, but just John's.
No, we stopped at John's yesterday,
outside,
didn't we?
Outside, but didn't get in.
Oh, we didn't get in.
Well,
right.
Thank you.
Because he met us at the door.
That's right.
Right on. Well, Paulie B.
He stopped you at the door.
Was a fine guest at my house. No broken sinks.
No, really?
No clogged toilets.
Excellent.
He even brought his own tea.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, English tea.
English tea.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course, naturally.
Not at my house.
I gave him some tea last night.
He said, "Do you have a bit of tea?" And I said, "Yeah, iced tea." And the wife said, "No."
Oh, blimey, Gavin. All right, Mary Poppins. Oh, chim chimney, chim 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 chiroo.
Oh, God.
Come on.
All right, is this our first international Shitter Shine Ola?
Yeah.
Yes.
The first international Shitter Shine Ola is about to occur.
Back on track, are we?
Wow. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Born.
Everybody know how to play the game?
No. Yes. Maybe. Yes.
Let's get ready to play!
Shitter Shine Ola!
Welcome to the first international game of Shitter Shine Ola.
Where's the studio audience?
I'm your host, Scott.
Oh, yeah, we need applause, right?
And our first question tonight. Woo! Mount Vesuvius erupted during World War II. Mount Vesuvius erupted during World War II. Shit or Shinola?
Shinola.
Shit.
Okay, we got a Shinola.
Do you know what Shinola and
that's,
shit?
That's what I'm going to ask again.
Shinola's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I do listen.
Wait, what's true?
Shinola.
Shinola's true?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do you say, Rick?
I say shit.
You say shit, John? You say?
Shit.
And the man from the UK goes up one zip.
Oh.
There you go.
That is a fact.
Don't sound so surprised.
Italy's Mount Vesuvius, an active volcano, notoriously erupted in AD 79. wiping out the cities of Pompeii, Herculaneum, and Stabium.
Wait.
Another eruption killed 3,000 people in 1631. After that, the volcano remained active but didn't cause much damage. Then, in 1944, during World War II, Vesuvius erupted, this time
you
violently.
You didn't say the only time.
The lava destroyed the villages of San Sebastiano, El Vesuvio, Massa di Somma, and part of San Giorgio.
Yeah, that's the one.
I think the game show guy is supposed to be able to read.
Well, let's get a new game show guy then, because that's not going to happen.
Don't chase me, bro!
Many European cheeses traditionally contained bird droppings. Shit or shinola?
Oh, shinola all the way.
John says shinola.
Shinola.
Tony says shinola.
Gotta say shit.
And Rick ties Tony 1-1. It is total shit. You'll be relieved to know that bird droppings have never been an ingredient of cheese. However, if you must know, the Italians have used lamb's intestines.
Oh, right. That's what I meant.
Got to have a bit of shit.
Third question, shit or shinola. The word whiskey comes from a Gaelic term that means falling merrily down the well. The word whiskey comes from a Gaelic term that means falling merrily down the well. Shit or shinola?
Shit.
Tony says shit.
Damn, I just read this too.
Did you? I'm sure that's cheating then, surely, John.
I'm going to
say. No, I've been reading it right now.
Oh, I'm going to say shit.
Yeah. Rick says shit.
Shit.
And John says shit. The score, the tally, is Rick 2, John 1. John is on the board. Tony 2. That is total shit. It comes from the Gaelic term. Usage bitha.
Sorry, what?
Which is derived from the Latin phrase aqua vita, meaning water of life. By the early 1100s, there were several distilleries in Ireland. Today, whiskey distilleries can be found all over the world. Our fourth question, gentlemen. Bald eagles lay black eggs. Bald eagles lay black eggs. Shit or shinola?
All the time or once in a while?
Or just
bald
on bad days?
Bald eagles lay black
eggs. Oh, I'm having a black egg day, lads.
Shit or shinola?
Shinola.
Yeah, I say shinola.
Tony, shinola.
Shit.
Rick says shit. Rick goes up 3.
Oh, shit.
To 2.
I meant to say shit.
Over Tony.
Damn it.
And John with 1. That is total shit. The bald eagle, the American national bird since 1782, lays eggs of a whitish color, not unlike chicken eggs. The bald eagle is a member of the sea eagle species and it usually lives along rivers, lakes, and marshes. Females.
The whitish is the new black.
Who
Scott.
Tend to be exactly. A bit larger than males, lay 2 or 3 eggs, which the male helps incubate for 5 weeks. And our last question, John. John is statistically out of this
out
match.
Out of the match.
But go ahead and play for fun, John.
Fuck you. Wait.
fuck you. That's now, for something to happen here. How should we do this? We got to make sure Rick answers first, so then Tony has an option to.
The audience isn't supposed to hear this part.
Game.
This is stuff that affects the
last
outcome of the game.
Question of Shit or Shine.
Well,
unless
shout out your name if you have an answer.
Unless we go into sudden death, a man named Mr. Bell is the founder of Taco Bell. A man named Mr. Bell is the founder of Taco Bell. Shit or Shinola.
I don't have the
gotta say shit.
Rick says shit.
And I really should say the opposite to Rick.
You should. Should.
So, shinola.
Don't
you
me, bro.
Did you call me a stud?
We are going to go into sudden death overtime, John.
Hey.
Glenn Bell opened a Mexican fast food stand and called it Taco Tias. It eventually became a chain. Then he changed the name to El Tacos. He finally changed it to Taco Bell around 1962, and the name stuck. All right, sudden death overtime.
It's a game show that should be on the Fox Network. You know?
No,
don't answer it that way.
It's Ben's Fox News.
Yeah, it's fair and balanced. Yeah, you should answer it that way.
I'm just helping out Tony, you know, new to the game.
Oh, let's fix Scott really quick.
Give him the intricacies. the strategizing.
Okay.
Miller Brewing Company was the first to use aluminum cans for beer. Miller Brewing Company was the first company to use aluminum cans for beer. Shit or Shinola?
Shinola.
It's shit.
It says Shinola.
Shit.
Shit.
And Tony wins this round. It is total shit.
Hams.
That is incorrect, John. It was Coors. Introduced Coors. The first aluminum can. The in the United hole. States in 1959, the Adolf Coors, born in Prussia, now Germany, in 1847, came to the U.S. as a stowaway on a boat along with a partner. He opened Golden Brewery in 1873 and managed to
turn a profit. Nice.
Within the first year, Coors survived Prohibition by brewing near beer and malted milk. All right, Tony, the first international game, and it's swept by the U.K.
Hey,
naturally.
Wow. U.K.
Was there ever any doubt?
See you on the soccer field, woo! Right?
All right, our studio audience.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful.
All right. Thanks, Scott, for another fine episode of Shit or Shinola.
Yeah, we really need to pump that up with some backing music. You know, like
are you going to fix the soccer match as well?
What do you mean fix
yeah.
it? Of course not. Unless Vegas gets a hold of me. It's probably an under over right now as we speak on the match.
Right, right.
Fool me once, shame on you.
All right, before we get to the W and his latest stupidity, two quick celebrity stories. Whose hasn't seen the Brady Bunch here? Whose hasn't?
The what?
Brady
movie,
Bunch?
Movie or series?
You get the Brady Bunch over in the UK?
I saw the movie.
The movies? You haven't seen the series?
No.
I'm talking about the series. I'm talking about the original Marsha
How
Brady.
How can you watch the movie without ever seeing the series? That's what makes it funny.
That's probably why I didn't find the film funny, actually. Yeah.
There you All go.
Right. I'm sorry.
Maureen McCormick. Do you remember Maureen? Maureen McCormick. Marsha. Is set to reveal the beloved 70s TV series' most shocking secret in a new book. Can you guess what it is? Her most shocking secret.
Who is it?
Maureen McCormick, Marsha from the Brady Bunch.
Marsha.
She liked water sports.
No, she banged.
Close.
Great.
Close, really?
Tony's closer than John.
She liked lying under a glass table while someone shit on it.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Am I in the ballpark?
She and her on-screen sister, Eve Plum, had a lesbian fling.
I say Whoa. Shit. I say
shit. Here's a different side to the Brady Bunch, huh?
Are you off that, your fucking meds or something?
She's going to candidly talk about the well-documented eating disorder and drug problems
She's
as well.
Out to sell books. That's total shit.
Lesbian affair with Eve
no,
Plum.
That would have come out a long time ago.
If it's total shit, she's got to give Eve Plum a cut of that, or Eve Plum will sue her.
Yeah.
And that'll be that.
Imagine the business meeting involved in that one.
Right, I got some
this
audio.
This book's okay.
I got some audio from
it
that.
It needs a bit of lesbian right, loving. Right.
I gave John an audio clip from that. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there's
that.
Some audio from the actual, from the audio book.
From the audiobook,
yes.
Right.
Here it is.
Oh, fuck!
That's it. That's all we had.
Is that the book for the deaf, then? Or the,
yeah.
I mean,
It is the book for the deaf.
And our last celebrity news.
Audiobook for the deaf. Right?
That's a good name for an album.
Audiobook for the deaf. Yeah. Good name for a band, too.
Yeah.
Our last celebrity is also related to TV series. Tony.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. In the UK, did you ever watch Happy Days with Fonzie?
No.
You've never seen it?
Yes,
never
no,
seen Happy
not.
Days?
Yeah.
Well, guys, guess what? 30 years ago today, Arthur Fonzarelli put his iconic black leather jacket on over swim trunks, went water skiing.
And jumped.
Jumped a shark.
Jumped a shark.
And effectively killed Happy Days.
Forever.
He also helped inspire the expression jump the shark, which became a metaphor for any moment something betrays its original identity
Tonight,
or premise.
On a special blossom.
Oh, that's where that came from.
That was 30 years ago. Fonzie jumped the shark. Do you remember that? Do you guys remember seeing that?
Yeah. No. I've heard the phrase jump the shark.
Wasn't Pinky Tuscadero on the same episode, like on the beach watching?
Yeah, it was a star-studded two-parter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And all I remember is him with. The leather jacket didn't bother me. What goddamn bothered me was the swim trunks and the leather boots. That really bugged me.
Right.
And
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, it wasn't the same after
yeah,
that.
It was kind of gay.
Now, speaking of jumping the shark, do you think Punky's jumped the shark, John?
Why
how
you say
rude.
That?
I'm
what,
just asking.
What'd they do?
How rude.
How rude.
What did they do?
I'm just asking.
I don't know. I
mean, what do you that's mean? Right. I'm sorry. Example. John doesn't listen, so he wouldn't know if they jumped the shark.
That is one big pile of shit.
Well, I don't think they've junked the shark.
Junked it. No.
I didn't tell you guys this. Paulie B told me that Coca-Cola paid their airfare. How about that? Let's get a little plug in for Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Now, is that through your association with Punky?
Yes.
And Coke picked up the tab?
Hey. No, because we did a short promotion for them for 1 month, and that paid enough for the flights.
That is out of sight, man.
So, for the sake of mentioning something for 1 minute on four shows, we got to come to Chicago.
I never called
you
sellouts.
Beautiful guys.
It was John.
Yeah, well, really?
Don't taste me, bro!
You lying
don't
ass.
Don't taste me, bro!
You're a fucking liar. All I was concerned about was
the thing that bugged me about Punky is when you got the BT Pod Show thing.
Yeah.
And I talked about this. Was it Adam Curry who was first on there? It was a stinger at the front, a stinger
that was
at the
horrible.
Back. And I couldn't even understand what the hell the guy was talking about.
Yeah.
And now you have no control over that, or do you guys put the... Did they tell you where to put the stingers?
They put them on themselves.
That would piss
so
me off.
You upload the show, and then they put things on the front and the end of the show.
That's commercialism, Scott. That's the way it works when you get paid.
The big business works.
It's a lucrative. It's a lucrative enough that you'll let them mess with your content.
But we did say to them that we gave them feedback and said we didn't like the stingers. So and they did change them,
made them more professional,
made them more English.
English.
I think we've done a few of them.
Good way. That's the way to go.
You know, work within the system.
It's out of sight. Well, yeah. How many more listeners do you need before you can quit your day job and Punky is your.
Just a few more million.
Your profession.
Few more million.
Few more million, and we'll be set.
Well, wow. we're getting the word out to all 12 of our listeners. So
fantastic, and we love them all.
It's he said, and then she said, and they right, told somebody.
Right.
You know,
takes
pyramid
a while.
Thing takes a while.
Yeah. Well, Mandela's dead.
Maybe meet all 12 of them this Saturday.
Yeah,
at the Beacon right. Tap.
Well, yeah, if they can get in.
Right.
Tetanus.
Right.
Or if they can get out.
Tetanus.
We won't let them out.
Yeah.
All right, John, let's turn to politics. This is an ad hoc. Tony, you into politics?
Not so.
Not at all. Couldn't give a shit.
I give a shit, but I don't understand it. But I'm open to listen.
Well, we understand that you may not understand.
I've got these voices in my head.
You may not understand American politics, right? But what about the UK? You have any interest in politics over there? I have no idea what's going on over there.
No, I started watching the news again after years of living in my bubble.
With
my friends from Charmed and Friends. But I'm slowly getting back into it. Gordon Brown has just taken over the Prime Ministership, so I'm into that.
What's with the whole goddamn royal family? Do you feel happy that your tax dollars are going to pay for the education of the William and Harry? Those two stooges?
Yeah, the good entertainment.
Does that piss you off or no?
Not at all.
Not at all because they bring the bucks in tourism?
Yeah.
Do people still go to England to see that, the royal family?
I think so.
Sure.
Outside the Buckingham Palace is always the big crowd.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, know. Totally.
Every time I see a movie.
I did it.
Like I saw The Queen with the woman who
Helen
won.
Mirren.
Heather Mirren.
Yeah.
That pissed me off. They just tool around on their 8,000-acre properties.
Shooting deer.
Shooting
driving
deer.
Driving Land Rovers, getting stuck in rivers.
And,
what's that all about?
This particular movie revolved around Tony Blair, I guess, and the Princess Di and that whole
Blair.
Yeah, and it's just Jesus Christ. These people don't lift a goddamn finger. They almost spoon feed them their goddamn food.
Wait a minute, Paulie B checking in.
Please sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
We can do all that. Right.
Well, we're going to talk about politics here. And before we get into politics,
lovely fellas.
One thing we have to ask, Tony, is are you a man of God? Are you a man of science?
Science.
Do you have any religious affiliation whatsoever?
Not at all.
Any spirituality whatsoever?
Not at all.
So you would consider yourself a deist, an atheist?
I'm an atheist.
Is an atheist.
Which probably explains my inane fear of flying.
That is an inane fear.
All right,
it is
yeah.
inane fear.
Now, and we've read stories, John, that in the UK they got their shit together over there. There's like only 30% of the people believe
right,
in God.
Right.
And it the 70%.
When I was in school, I think there was a lot more prayers and hymns and God and things like that. But I think it has died down a lot.
In school?
In school,
wow.
yeah. I mean, in primary school years, from 5 to 11, there was a lot of prayers and things like that. That's not the case anymore.
Right on.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
I don't, all right. You know, yeah. Our first political story,
oh, fucking
John.
Fucking shithouse bollocks.
That's God sorted. Let's go on to something else.
Oh, fucking right. shithouse bollocks.
Now, last ad hoc, we talked about this because it just broke. This guy goes, John Kerry speaks somewhere. He speaks for 2 hours, and he opens the floor for questioning. This kid walks up, and he starts asking questions. But before he gets the questions, he's going to tell everybody his political views. And some people, I guess, thought he was arrogant or whatever. But the cops came over. They grabbed him. He's like, hey, man, get your hands off me.
Weren't they campus cops?
Were yeah. they campus cops?
Yeah. Yeah, campus cops.
And they tase the guy. They take him to the back of the hall, and they tase him. Subdue him. Handcuff him.
For being annoying.
For being annoying. You can't even be goddamn annoying in this police state anymore.
No.
And it's deeper than that. You know, there's people now that are they're banned from visiting certain cities in our country now because
right.
they protested.
That's right. I saw
for something
that.
Nonviolent, they are actually being,
on Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
They're blacklisted.
Right. They can't go back into a city simply because they wore a T-shirt that had the number of U.S. soldiers killed, or,
right.
or they had an anti-Bush sign at a rally. They didn't
That's
do anything violent.
Ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I wonder if they're going to put Tony on the no-fly list now.
Probably not.
Who did you visit when you were in this country?
yeah.
A fish name.
No
a fish
one.
Named Kevin.
I'm going to stay with Kevin. It wouldn't be a lie.
Well, and I think it also goes back to a story where a law changed and police don't have to knock on the door anymore.
Right. Just kick it down.
They can just kick it down and come in. And so this guy, this one article I pulled this out of, he says, usually when police violate constitutional rights and commit acts of police brutality, they do it when they believe no one is watching, not in front of a large audience. Clearly, the police have become more audacious in their abuse of rights and citizens. And in the past 2 weeks, the web has been flooded with police brutality.
Yeah.
Over stupid shit, like some woman in a wheelchair gets tasered 10 times until she's dead because they can't subdue a 80-year-old woman? I mean, it's goddamn ridiculous.
Don't
what I'm saying.
Me, bro.
I know, that's fucked up, man.
And the other thing is, Kerry just stood there.
Yeah.
He didn't do a damn thing. And then he's answering the guy's question when he's being tasered.
If everybody just calm down.
Well, while you're screaming in pain, I don't know if you'll be able to hear me, but I'm going to go ahead and answer your question. And when are the Democrats going to impeach, John? What the fuck?
You mean the Dema pussies?
They're all in it together. God damn it. Oh, and the other news story that came out was about habeas corpus. They said, hey, let's put that back in.
It's all a bunch of shit, Scott.
And it was voted down.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Again.
Every one of those people who said nay should lose their jobs.
When was the Magna Carta signed?
12-something.
Wasn't that when habeas corpus first came into being? And it's been doing fine all those years until
I think
now.
I think it's always been part of even back in Roman times, habeas corpus. It's all the way back to Greece.
Who is it?
Doesn't it mean with liberty or something like that?
I'm trying to think of the congressman or senator who just put out a book called Letters from Nuremberg.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a great book because it's letters from his father to his mother. He was one of the prosecutors during the Nuremberg trial, and the one thing that most struck him, that struck him deeply was the fact that Russia, Great Britain, and the other allied countries wanted to execute the Nazis at this trial, just not give them a trial. Instead, I think one of his lines was, instead we stayed the hand of vengeance. And they gave these guys, these monsters in some people's eyes, they gave them a fair trial. They kept habeas corpus. They kept all those rules of law and still convicted these guys. And in essence, that's what that book is about. What's happening today is the rest of the world looks at us as a shining light of justice, no matter how horrible these people are, you know, even Al-Qaeda and that sort of thing. We should still follow the rule of law.
Right.
It's a brand new book. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Nicely said, Rick. Very eloquent.
Habeas corpus.
You should talk more.
Latin. We command that you have the body.
You're not getting
show
in my house,
prove
Scott.
It.
Right on.
Suck up.
In addition, Bush wants to Congress to expand and make permanent a law that temporarily gives the government more power to eavesdrop without warrants on suspected foreign terrorists. And he wants to include Americans in that as well.
Yeah.
Let's let this fucker do whatever he wants, I guess. Jesus Christ.
And what cracks me up is you get people like Bill O'Reilly and Hannity and all them, and they're, oh, yeah, that's what we need. And as soon as somebody comes into office that they don't like, they'll be crying like a little bunch of little bitches. Cunts.
How do you say it?
Cunts.
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 I introduced Tony to Fox Network today. I gave him a little taste of the Fox News Network.
Of cunt?
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Now, yeah. Yeah. The Fox thing's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the day the Move On ad aired, or the day that the Move On ad was posted in the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
Fox News mentioned it 500 times in their broadcast day. 9 soldiers were killed the same day in Iraq. They mentioned that twice.
Yeah.
So what's more important to them, squashing freedom of the press, squashing freedom of speech, or
Fox noise?
These 9 Marines that were killed.
Yeah, they're full of shit.
No, they're full of bad priorities. Really, I mean, it's still been a week and they're still talking about it.
Yeah.
They're still talking about
an
ad. That and what they say on Fox Network is, remember when MoveOn.org called General, they called him General Betrayus.
Right,
they
right.
didn't. The ad specifically asked a question: Betrayus or betray? You know,
right.
Betrayus or be? It asked a question. It made no statement, but they twisted
yeah,
around.
Yeah, but here's
into
Keith Olbermann made a great point when he said that the General Betrayus, the one who really betrayed us, was the president for using
hiding behind
the general, using him as a political hack.
He set up Petraeus like a bowling pin for that. So
here you go, come on out and say, you know, say all the shit so that when somebody bashes you, they're unpatriotic. When everybody's like, well, wait a minute, your job is to fucking represent to the people, not the general. His job is to go out and shoot people. And not to be a politician, you fucking chimp.
What are they saying? How dare...
Fuck you!
How dare MoveOn.org criticize a man who received the Bronze Star? Hello, what about Kerry?
Yeah.
He received the Bronze Star, too.
Yeah,
that's
no doubt.
That's a bunch of shit over Swift a goddamn ad.
Cocks.
Ads don't kill people. Fucking wars do.
That's right. That was the quote I was trying to remember today. Ads don't kill people. Wars do.
Heavy typewriters, too.
Do they have those anymore?
That's pretty good, man.
Well, there's this other a military watchdog organization filed a lawsuit in federal court against the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, and the U.S. Army Major on behalf of an Army soldier stationed in Iraq. The suit charges the Pentagon with widespread constitutional violations. Oh, surprise, surprise. By allegedly trying to force the soldier to embrace Evangelical Christianity.
Even who?
Even what?
Evangelical.
Evangelical Christianity.
Evangelical Christianity.
Gelatinous Christianity.
I mean, it's getting goddamn ridiculous over there.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Makes me goddamn nauseous.
Yeah.
Anus.
Right on.
Well, but what about Bush and his Mandela speech?
Yeah, stupid ass. Why was he talking?
Discourse. This is like the beginning.
What was the speech?
Taking back the airwaves, and it's how it starts in little rooms like this, and
yeah. Little rooms, big audiences.
Yeah,
talking to the mic, Rick.
No, I'm not. This is meant for just him and I. All right. Yeah.
Then don't say it. Okay, sign it.
Sign it.
Yes.
Sign it for the deaf. Here's
now,
what John's.
I'm just helping
is,
our foreign visitor
now,
along here.
Bush was at a press conference. And he was talking about what?
He was talking about somebody asked him the question about What was the question? I had the text and I forgot about it. The question was...
I might have it. Hold on. Who alluded to a da-da-da-da... No, I don't have it. I don't have the question.
Well, the question was something about, like, Iraq. How can you... Why can't we get the tribes to work together? You know, get them...
Peace.
Peace. Get some sort of peace. Get everybody together.
Do you think they killed all the Mandelas? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Diplomacy with a question about the rate of political progress in Iraq.
Part of the reason why there's not this instant democracy in Iraq is because people are still recovering from Saddam Hussein's brutal rule. I heard somebody say, "Now where's Mandela?" Well, Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead.
What a dumbass.
He's so goddamn embarrassing. He's so embarrassing.
Yeah, he is.
Saddam killed all the Mandelas. He had to back it up that way. How many Mandelas are there?
Well, Nelson Mandela is still very much alive, despite...
John Stewart
W.
called him right after that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He get him on air?
Yeah. Gave him the bad news?
Yeah. Yeah, we heard you're dead. Oh, you're okay? All right. And I was tooling around on Dig, and I dug up this video. Some kid decided to tell his mom that he's an atheist and he doesn't believe in God anymore.
Oh, hold on. Before we get to that, I got one more story.
See what the fuck? How many times did I tell you about this?
After smothering efforts by war critics in Congress to drastically cut U.S. troop levels in Iraq, President Bush, get this, plans to ask lawmakers next week to approve another massive spending measure. Guess how much he wants for next year?
$200
billion. $200 billion to fund the war through next year.
Wow.
If Bush's spending request is approved.
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
He's borrowing that money from your son and daughter, John. 2008
will be the most expensive year of the Iraq war.
They have no say in it.
No, he's borrowing it from China, and then China's going to want it back from my son and daughter.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And the Congress, they'll just give it to him? Yeah, sure, here you go. Because we're in on this fucking too. That's why.
But you were talking about the evangelicals?
Yeah, the even.
The evangelicals. Even the jellicles.
Even genitals.
And- even genital Christians. After this clip, you can tell why some people are fucked up.
Well, and it's true. The right wing has kidnapped,
hypnotized
the U.S. government over this shit. Go ahead and play that clip.
And in the clip, there's a kid of less than, he's probably preteen. Well, he's got to be teenager. I think he's got his balls lowered or something in there because his voice changed. But this is a kid explaining to his mom that he doesn't believe in God.
You're an atheist. Give me a fucking break, Michael. All right, you know what? We need to start going to church every week. I can't help with this.
I don't believe in God.
Bullshit. You got yourself confirmed, and you said to the bishop.
Yeah, a lot can happen. You can think.
A lot can happen. All of a sudden, you can just quit believing in God?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there is no God.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. You want to know there's no God? Then you're going to get absolutely nothing. Nothing for Christmas, because that's what Christmas is about, is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
No, it's not okay, Michael. It is not okay.
The best part of the clip is the dad. The dad just kind of sitting there drinking his coffee. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to say, I have to agree. Things could change. You could think.
People can think.
People can think, Mom.
Ugh.
You're nuts.
Nuts.
Ugh. I had the same conversation with my mom.
You need to cut out Jesus Christ from that clip.
Why?
Because it's great.
Oh, just her saying Jesus Christ. It's better than our Jesus Christ.
When did you tell your mom you were atheist?
I don't know, right? Sometime after 9/11.
I haven't told my mom yet.
I told my mom because I was making fun of her because the kids were telling me how at Christmas time she brings out the nativity scene, and right on Christmas night she brings out the plastic baby Jesus and has everybody kiss it and then put it in the little
manger.
My mom. And they pray in front of the little manger.
So when you become an atheist, it's you don't come out of a closet. What do you do? Is it, what do you call that?
I come out of a trunk.
Come out into the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people think, Rick, okay? People can think.
Well, back off, man. I'm just saying.
Like, so hostile.
I'm with you. I'm with you, okay? You right can't on. Come into my house, but I'm with you.
Right on.
Chill out, Scott.
You know why
O'Reilly?
I can't come into his house? He's probably got little crosses all over the place he's not telling us about.
Scott O'Reilly. Shut up!
Go to your closet and pray.
Turn his mic off. Yeah, like in Carrie. Remember that?
The dirty pillows.
Remember?
Oh, remember.
Yeah, the dirty pillows. Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck said that?
So I none bet. Of that stuff is true then, huh? The fact that Jesus moved the stone and came out of that cave and saw his shadow and there's like 6 more weeks of winter, none of that's true anymore?
Mandela's dead. It might as well be.
Mandela's dead. Mandela's dead.
And the earth is 2,000 years old.
Right, that's it.
Always cracks me up, that one.
Oh, that's another thing.
You
I was
got that wrong. It's 6,000. Come on, if you're going to know your young earth creationist, it's 6,000.
6,000.
2,000 is when Jesus was born. Come on. You had to have Adam and Eve. You had to have Charlton Heston.
My world started when Scott joined the band.
Right on, Rick.
Oh, that's beautiful, man.
You can come to my house.
Everything else is BS.
Are you a Peter Pupper?
Before Scott.
Are you a Peter Pupper?
BS.
Are you a Peter Pupper?
Before Scott.
Do you suck dicks?
The fuck you in for, bitch? Start sucking.
Anyway,
And after Scott started, ass.
Yeah, come on, my ass.
That was a good one.
That was... what was so funny about it was Scott's reaction, because he could not stop laughing.
I could not.
Scott says, come on. And Rick goes, come on, my ass.
It was a musical argument or something, so let's put it back in the context.
That was great. Oh, speaking of that, we're going to try to get some video of the gig. Also, damn it, I forgot. I was going to give you a video camera. And
yes.
A couple of blank tapes, and
yes,
you can
please,
tape you can. Whatever you want. So I'll make sure I'll bring that tomorrow.
He wants to videotape my neighbor's car.
My girlfriend really likes the old style 60s American automobiles.
So. Oh, that neighbor. I was going to say.
No, not the other neighbor.
The other one. Don't worry about the deer hanging from the rafters.
He has deer hanging upside down. He's bleeding them out.
Does you want to video that
right
too?
Now? Does he have some in there today?
I don't know. It's close to deer season.
We came over once to have some coffee and whatever. And we're outside standing there talking, and I'm looking over Rick's shoulder. And I'm looking in the garage in the neighbor Rick's neighbor's house, and he's got 2 deer.
He's got a hacksaw to it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Hey, fellas.
He's cutting legs off and putting them in a barrel. It looks like an umbrella stand.
All right, we're going to cut out and catch the Bears game. Oh, speaking of that, Favre, I heard tied Marino today.
Yeah, 420.
Today?
Today, yeah.
Today.
He had to throw 4 touchdowns for that, didn't he?
Three. To tie.
They're undefeated, aren't they, Green Bay?
Yes.
They are undefeated, yeah.
And they beat a good team today, didn't they?
They beat the Chargers, who beat the Bears.
Yes. In the Super Bowl last year, right?
No doubt.
Lions lost.
No doubt.
Minnesota lost.
No doubt.
Who Brewers the Bears play lost. Tonight? Is it a pushover?
Dallas. They're playing Dallas.
Are they any good? I have no idea.
They are. They might give the defense, our defense, a little run.
All right, then. Tony, any last words?
Nope. See.
Any last words? Is he going to be killed after this?
No.
His
any
career.
Last words of the webcast, Ad Hoc 104? Now, tomorrow, Tony's going to be practicing with us. Thursday's going to be practicing with
practicing
us.
Practicing for the Saturday's gig, aren't we?
Actually, the Dallas and Chicago are tied right now, 10-10 in the third quarter.
It's the third quarter?
With 7:14 to go.
9:15.
They started
Scott,
at 7.
Scott, by the way, did you get your shirt for the gig?
Yeah, I ordered it.
Yeah, talk about jumping the shark.
I'm going to order one for Tony, too.
Wicked.
Really?
Yeah.
If anybody's in Chicago this week and want to meet up, tony@punkyradio.com. I've got a few days spare. Give me a shout.
Give him a shout right now.
A shout.
Yep.
Call us on Skype. Leave a message.
Why not?
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, Tony.
No worries.
Rick.
Thank
Always
you.
Always a pleasure. Never Thank a chore.
Hey, and let's give a big round of applause for John.
Woo! For what?
For the
what
setup. We're back in the studio. You set up four mics, earphones, the whole deal, man.
Yeah.
Producer of the year. Not even nominated this year. It's
not
a joke.
Even nominated.
Travesty.
It's a travesty. It's a bunch of
have
shit.
They didn't even have the category this year.
Can I say hi to the word whore and hope she comes down
and
sees us?
Oh, yeah. apparently some shit happened over the week, and she may not come down now, which I think is a bunch
of shit. I got some audio of her.
That's a shame. I was looking forward.
I got some audio of her, by the way.
We're not supposed to play that. You mean the stuff we recorded? Oh, that audio. Okay. I thought you were talking about the audio when we recorded after we got off the phone with her.
Oh, no. We're saving that for the lawsuit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on, John.
All right.
So, word whore. Rick is inviting you. You better come down. And Preston, scrape the cash together.
Or
right?
We play what we recorded after
right
the
on.
Show.
Oh, we're threatening the word
That's
whore.
That's right.
All right. If the word whore doesn't make it.
Bring your skinny ass down here. Or else.
All right, then.
All right, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is another episode of Total Talk Nonsense.
Ad Hoc 104.
Yeah.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.